Episode 258, August 22nd, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
So this is the only like real 4 days of the year, Joe, where you and I are disagreeing with our sports teams.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I mean, I'm a big Terps fan. You're an Ohio State fan.
Football, it's never really a contest. Basketball is. Yeah, I guess if they have a competitive basketball, where they're both playing really well. I mean, a couple of years ago that was like that, but more so Maryland. But yeah, it's Orioles and Nationals, and you know, Tim is a big Nationals fan like myself. He gets under your skin and gets, we've talked about this before, these emails or these text messages back and forth, and I get caught in the middle of these stupid arguments.
Well, you notice I haven't even been responding. It's so frustrating because Tim has been Tim said that the Orioles would be out of it by June. Then he said July.
Right.
Then he said August. Then he said they won't do anything in the playoffs. And now that they're doing well, he goes, see, I told you. And it just makes me crazy. Now, it would be one thing if he was just trying to get under my skin, but he believes it. He believes that being wrong 18 times and then somehow there's a little bit of correctness. By the way, the Orioles currently, if the season ended, they'd make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
but if they lose in game 7 of the World Series, he's gonna text, hold you.
No. The whole idea with baseball is that they play 162 games. You'd like to have a rooting interest through, you know, 150 of those games. It just makes the summer fun, which the sure. Orioles have provided. Now, their starting pitching is poor, and Robbie hates this segment. But
I wanted to get less about the breaking down of the teams, but more so like, would we have real tension? I mean, if they were in the World Series, which could happen, I mean, would we be not talking to each other?
No, because you wouldn't be a dick. Oh, there's a dog I'm dog sitting.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be a dick, but like, we have natural bias, like anybody does when they're talking about their own team. So we would have, if we talked about it, we would argue.
You're right, a little bit. It depends. I mean, it's funny because at the beginning of the season, I was talking about how I thought that Manny Machado was not getting his due as one of the top players in the game, and I compared him to Bryce Harper. And Danny Ruye from 106.7 The Fan. God, guys, hold on.
What is that? What is he, have a kennel? He's running? What is happening?
That's me.
Oh, okay.
So sorry about that.
Stop with this baseball. What's fucking happening with the dog?
Oh, so we're dog sitting. Katie says to me, hey, just leave the door open. He won't bark, but he might, you know, bang into things. If he knows you're in the room, he might bark. So
Who's
I said,
dog?
Okay, no. What's that?
Whose dog?
We're dog sitting her parents' dog. They're in Block Island, New York. Anyway, so we're dog sitting, and she said he won't bark. And meanwhile, come here, Bo. Meanwhile, he's done nothing but bark at everything he's seen. All right. Anyway, but back to the Danny Ruye. But Danny Ruye starts getting taking it personally, as if I'm talking about his son. But meanwhile, I've never said anything. God damn it. I've never said anything disparaging about Bryce Harper. God, welcome to amateur hours.
I would never. Dog sitting sounds awful.
Well, it was pretty good up until the last maybe 30 seconds.
All right, rank the pets you'd least like to. What's the order of your willingness to house sit? Is dog one or a cat to me is one.
That you wouldn't want to, or you would?
No, I would. I'd be most likely to
yeah,
sit.
Yeah, but they smell. I mean, I would much rather dog sit than cat sit.
Well, I'm assuming they're going to give you all the kitty litter and all that stuff and that the setup.
Well, this dog.
I'd rather have deal with the cat than walk a dog.
Yeah, that's true. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, but I hate the smell of a cat, so I think I would go dog one, cat two. What's a third? A bird?
Yeah.
What about? I mean, a bird would probably be pretty good as long as they gave you the cage. You just set it somewhere.
Gramps says, "Don't edit out the dog."
All right, Gramps, our new producer.
Gramps says he's hilarious.
I'm terrified of any kind of reptile, so I don't want that near me.
Well, remember when my former landlord, Dave, he had that bearded dragon. Remember that?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
You were scared of it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I'm scared of any reptile. I don't even like, I wouldn't even want a frog.
You know, I actually saw a lizard outside of my apartment. I think they're called skinks. Is that what they are? And would you be afraid of that if you saw that?
I don't like anything that slithers. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be afraid of all that stuff.
So this is going to make some enemies, but I'm going to tell you a story I may have told on the air before. One time when I was in college, I was sitting in my father's chair. It was, you know, I was doing homework and it was, you know, 2 a.m. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a snake slithering across the floor. Now, this snake was probably 5 inches long.
Right.
And it was green. Its head was the size of a, like if you put 2 Tic Tacs together, that's how big it was. It scared the shit out of me. I beat it to death with a shoe. Then I took its lifeless body and I threw it out the door.
Was it your shoe or someone else's shoe?
No, it was my father's shoe. Robbie will remember my father. Do you know anybody else who has this? He used to have going outside shoes that always sat behind the TV. Remember, Robbie?
Yes, he still does.
And they were the most disgusting. I don't know if they were. I mean, they were looked like they were 70 years old. Like the pilgrims brought these things over. And if you had to go outside, that's what you did. You slipped on these old loafers and then you went outside and then you came back in and you put the old going out shoes back behind the TV.
Did maybe Gramps in. We'll have a story from wearing those shoes. Because if you guys remember last week, Gramps has sent us 3 stories. We told one last week. We're going to tell one this week and one next week. And who knows how many more he has.
Hey,
what
can I tell you
what is the Gramps story of the week?
One other thing. Are you ready for Gramps story of the week? Or are we doing that later?
Yeah, I just did a perfect up and then you didn't do it. So
real quick, before I talk about the Gramps story of the week, you know that my brother and I, when we used to eat dinner, we used to have a wet cloth that everybody used. Everybody wiped their. This is not a joke. Robbie, am I telling the truth?
This is ringing a bell. Yeah.
It was called
a scoop. You would share a cloth and pass it around.
I swear on my eyes, we used to take a wet cloth and everybody used the same wet cloth. It was called a scoop. I kid you not. And we all wiped our mouth off with the exact same wet, passed it around and wiped our mouth off with it.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting. Robbie, you don't remember this? The skook?
I do remember the skook.
He probably repressed that memory.
I do remember the skook. I didn't know that it was a thing that we had at the table that everybody shared. I didn't remember that.
Did you share a handkerchief? Did y'all blow your nose in it?
I'm surprised we didn't. I think that's better than the skook. I mean, I have my father's barbecue sauce. I'm wiping my own face with it.
I would rather sit in the beanbag chair that Robbie soiled than do that with the
of course, then use the skook. I agree, 100%. I'm trying to look in chat to see if Gramps has any comments regarding this.
Sorry, Gramps, but it was a long time ago. It's okay. I'm sure it's gotten cleaner.
You ready? I'm ready to read my Gramps story, okay?
Fire away.
So, you know, my father sells insurance. I think we call it, we talked about that the last time when he called the guy ugly. But he had a client who was bipolar. And apparently she was built pretty well. She's in her 30s. So she was behind in her, you know, you have to pay every month. And my father literally goes to people's houses and collects these premiums, collects the monthly payment. So she came to the door. She's wearing a bathrobe. And she said, hey, you know, I can't pay you. He said, can I come in? I need to see you for a minute, which I always think is weird. But this is my father's in quotes. She opened the bathrobe and held it. I'm sorry. She opened the bathrobe and held it open and she was completely naked. And he said, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but thank you. And she said, has that been a minute? And closed the door.
So he's getting flashed. Gramps is.
According to this story. Gramps doesn't want him to spin a yarn. This is probably verbatim what happened. But my thing is that if he goes to her house and she's in her bathrobe and she says, I don't have your money. He says, can I come in for a minute? That sounds like he wants sex, doesn't it?
It does. If you see that she's dressed like that or in that and you invite yourself in, I think that was her thinking, oh, I get what's happening here. Well, I'm not going to do that, but I'll show you this.
If I go to the door and you're in your robe and I say, can I come in? I'm trying to bang you.
Yeah, you are. Well, you know what? Maybe he was.
I don't think that's the story, but who knows? He's in chat.
I mean, you would think that she's in her bath. That would mean that she's not going to have strangers in her house. Yeah.
Looking here, about that here. My father says, why not keep old shoes to go outside in? Okay, no problem. And then my father says, I do not remember any such thing. He doesn't remember the skook. He doesn't remember it, but I promise you the skook existed. The problem is my mother's dead. My father doesn't remember anything. Robbie's my go-to. If he doesn't remember, then I can, you know what I mean? You can polygraph me though.
Well, if Gramps doesn't remember and Robbie doesn't, and maybe you're wrong, Joe.
No. Even Robbie knows. I remember these things.
Well, it's been a full week. We had a murder mystery, the DC Improv. We had some shows to talk about, hanging out with David Koechner in Columbus. But you told me a show about that you did recently for our buddy RJ Jackson that I would not call a successful show.
So this show was oh God, here comes the dog again. So this show was in St. Michael's, and RJ says to me, RJ Jackson, who you know from, you'll know him from Best Of, right? Coming up soon.
Yes, he will.
RJ said, hey, will you do this show in St. Michael's? And I go, listen, I'm really taking a break from comedy. I'm too busy with these other things. If you really need me, I'll do it. Now, really, I think if I say that, he's going to say, I don't need you.
Right.
Who would say I really need you? There's 1,000 comics who can do at least as good a job as I can do.
Because this is the very kind of show that you don't want to be doing.
It's the exact reason that I only do, you know, 15 gigs a year because I won't do these shows. I won't do them. He says, I need you. I said, okay. You say you need me, I'll do it. Now, meanwhile, he didn't need me. Now, who's on the show? Like 15 comics. Now,
of course.
I drive there. It takes 1 hour and 20 minutes to get there. I show up. It is at a bar. Okay, I knew it was a bar show. The microphone is, I don't know how to describe it without, I know bars that it looks like, but we have an audience of thousands, so I have to just be more general. There's a bar, and then maybe there's 6 feet of area to the staircase that goes up, maybe to restrooms. It goes up to something. That's where we are. I can literally reach out and touch the people at the bar. Now, there's not an audience of people. The audience is perpendicular to where I'm standing. Does that make sense? It goes along the bar.
Right.
All the lights are on, all the TVs are on.
And it's a free show, right? So they're not invested anyway.
Well, it's not just that. It's the only people that are there are not there to see comedy. They're there to do something else.
Right.
And the comedy is now in their way. We're not elevated. The TVs are on. There's no spotlight. There's no dim lights. I mean, everything you can't have for a show, this is what we have. So I say to RJ, I go, listen, I'm preparing you right now. You are going to bomb. Okay, I'm letting you know right now, you're going to bomb right now. So just do whatever you need to do to get the next guy up. But there's no way for you, especially you, to be successful in this room. Maybe there's some way maybe we can get this train chugging a little bit, but you're going to eat it. And he's like, oh, no, blah, blah. He gets up there and he just eats it horribly. some other guy at the end of the bar goes, get the real comedians up there. And I'm like, boy, you are going to be so disappointed when we get up there, because it's all going to be the same thing. So one by one, we go up there. I get up there and I go, look, I don't want to be here either, but the Orioles are playing right now. If we could put the Oriole game on, if you guys want to turn around, that's fine. If you don't want to turn around, that's fine too. I'm not going to tell you my jokes. You're not going to laugh at them. But what I will do is I'll have a conversation with you. I'm required to do this for 40 minutes, and I'm going to do that. And at the end of 40 minutes, I'll leave. And I get up there, and there's two lovely couples in front of me, and I talk to them. There was another four-top that was a table away, and they actually moved closer, so I just talked to them. By the way, the conversations I had with them were like, hey, what's your name? Oh, cool. And you guys are from here? Oh, you're visiting? Oh, cool. Where are you guys staying? Yeah, we were considering maybe coming up here and going to like a bed and breakfast. Have you done? Oh, it's a night. It's like I'm having a real conversation with these people. No jokes. And I have no intention of telling jokes. I talk to them. Finally, I go, all right, guys, I'm getting out of here. The bartender rips up in applause. Like, good. Fuck you guys. Right. Which, by the way, I get. I'd be the exact same thing if I were that. I would do the exact same thing.
But it's not your fault.
No, dude, everybody who comes in there is seeing, they're like, wow, I just came in here to enjoy myself. Maybe have a conversation, maybe get a drink, maybe watch some TV. These guys are here. It's not like there's an audience where you can sit there and watch this show. All I'm doing is invading on your good time. That's the only thing we're doing. There's no way to do comedy in that room. And if you walked in there, you didn't know there was comedy, and all you wanted to do was go somewhere else where this wasn't going on. So the bartenders are losing money because we're there. I would have ripped up an applause too. The only reason I tried to do my time is because everybody, Troy Brown, who went up there, he was supposed to do 20. He did 6, but then he stuck around to get paid, which I thought was weird. And then, Ryan Nazer, how do you say it?
Nazer. I don't know.
He gave it a real effort. So he did his time. He gave it a real effort. And I wanted to at least give this guy the show that they said that they wanted. But what would you have done?
I would have done, I just done my time and just, I mean, I'm like you, I knew right away once you got there, you knew what it was going to be. And I would have done exactly what you would have done. And I probably would have done a countdown. Look, there's only 10 minutes left, folks. I mean, I've been in those situations. It's horrible. And it can be fun, but so we've done it so many times that it's painful.
Well, what's funny is that RJ has another room that this past Saturday. And he's like, oh, this room's going to be way better. Well, I wasn't on the show, but friend of the show, Justin Schlegel, was on it. The exact same thing. Now, Justin did something he said he's never done in his entire career, and he left. He didn't perform. He's on the posters. Everybody, if anybody came there to see him, fans of 98 Rock, people from the area who know who he is, he's like, not going to do it. And he got in his car and he left.
So I guess RJ is, I guess I'm third on the totem pole here. He's maybe fourth. Who knows? You might ask Tommy Somaza before me, Eric Woodward.
Dude, you don't want to do these shows.
I know. I'm lucking out. I did a show Wednesday night in Germantown, Maryland at a hookah bar called a Shisha Lounge. And it's 8 p.m. is the start time on the flyer. And it's I guess I call it a black show. Black guy runs it. Usually black comedians. And I should know better because this isn't racist, by the way, because it's true. 95% of shows that it's considered a black show is going to start late. It's just facts. So I should have known better, but I did show up at 7:45, which is actually late for what I would like to show up at an 8 o'clock show. I'd like to be literally, but I get at 7:45. I walk in. I'm the only one there. The owners are like, they don't even know why I'm there.
Yeah, like, don't you know the show is at 8?
Right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm one of the comics. Okay. All right. Well, I'm like, where's everybody? He goes, yeah, well, they'll probably come later. No urgency. They're not worried. Okay. You know, a half hour, another guy shows up, another comic. It's two people now in the crowd. And then they're like, yeah, usually it starts at like maybe 9:30, 9:40. It's an 8 o'clock show. What? And I have to get up early the next day for another story I'm about to tell you. But I'm like, Jesus. So flashback to when I was with Tommy Davidson at the DC Improv last September. I told you there was this guy there named DJ, the Flex, the bad guy, Flex. And he has a little internet fame because he was on World Star Hip Hop, where he was doing a show somewhere in Maryland, and an audience member, he was there going back and forth, heckling, yelling back and forth. The guy walks up, and this guy gets knocked out, gets punched. Got like a million views on WorldStar. So Timmy Hall is there, the local comedian, on the radios, friend of ours, funny guy. He's the headliner. We're sitting there talking, just saying, why are we doing this show? Why are we doing this to ourselves? This party bus rolls up. This guy Flex, it has his face on it. He's got his name on it, his phone number. He owns a bus.
I mean, Louis C.K. doesn't have a bus.
Right. I have pictures. I'll put them on our Facebook and Twitter. He has this bus. In walks, I would say, 20 people that were definitely on the more hood side. Like with white people, you got your redneck countryside. And then the black people, you got your hood side. They were definitely more on the hood side. And they immediately took over. This place doesn't serve alcohol. This guy Flex, he brings in one of those huge containers with the spout that you can, you know, push it down and liquid comes out. He's got Flex juice. I don't know what's it, but two people drank it and fell asleep during the show.
Seriously?
Yeah, there's out cold. There's a comedy show going on out cold. I didn't try it.
Was it like moonshine?
It was some, yeah, I think it was some, it was probably mixed with some juice or something. But yeah, it was probably a real strong liquor. It was probably like a 75 liquor, 25% fruit punch or something. So they're basically the taking over the show. They're passing liquor. It's just, it's a wild scene. So I'm like, okay. So the MC, they start the show at 9:40 for my 8 p.m. show, 9:40. So the MC goes on. Of course, he does 20, you know. By the way, no mention of sorry, we're starting late. Nothing. None of that, you know. Hey, we know it's at 8, but it's 9:40. No, it's like, I'm ridiculous for even thinking that it 8, man, 8. I'm the idiot. So then he does his thing. He does, okay. Then the first guy goes up. He does, okay. I go up. I mean, I do like 15 minutes. It's fine. I mean, I get some laughs when I make fun of the crowd. And when I try to do jokes, I don't get laughs. But when I just make fun of them, and it's fine. So Timmy Hall is supposed to headline, right? Because he's the headliner. But this guy Flex, he's brought all these people. So we're just assuming, all right, we're going to have this guy headline now. Because you can't put this guy up that the whole crowd's there to see and then bring up Timmy. He brings up the Flex guy. He's DMX is blasting. For 5 minutes, he's just like banging his head. And he has a baseball bat on the stage. He has a fucking bat. And he's playing DMX really loud. They're crazy. It's not a comedy show. They're dancing. I'm like, what's happening here? And Timmy Hall's like, what the fuck? Why are I gotta follow this guy?
You saw him. I think he was at the DC Improv, right?
Yeah, that's when I met him, and he remembered me. He likes me.
And what was? Remember, he had a catchphrase. He kept saying,
"He says I'm the bad guy."
Yeah, but I thought he was doing something like DJ. Give me a. Do you remember you? I thought you told me that
he does a lot of sound stuff. He points the bat. At one point, someone was standing off to the side. He goes, "Sit the fuck down." And you don't know if he's kidding because he's got a bat, right? There's a waitress there.
I'd immediately sit down.
There's a waitress there. She was white. Well, guess what? What do you think he called her? A famous white person's name. Who do you think he called her? No, it's a celebrity or a famous person, not a celebrity.
And she was a waitress. Taylor Swift.
He called her. He called her Sarah Palin. So this girl's 22. Sarah Palin is 50. They're both white women. That's it. Okay.
Everybody laughed.
Of course, right? So. We're sitting there and Timmy Hall looks over me and goes, he's telling my fucking joke. He's telling his joke in front of Timmy Hall. But what are you going to do? He's got a bat.
And Timmy's a cop, but he's still scared. He's not going to do anything.
Right. So then the MC goes up and just does like 10 to get the crowd back to like a normal thing. And then Timmy goes up and does good. He only does 15. He's like, that's all I'm doing. But it was just, you know, I wanted to get out of there because I had to get up at like 6 a.m. Of course, you know, instead of getting home at, I'm thinking I'm going to get there at 8. Oh, maybe we start at 8:15. I go on early. I'm paying them out by 8:40. Now I'm out at midnight. So whatever. Yeah.
I would be intimidated if I was there. I would. There's no way I would be enjoying myself at that show because I think about this is that you're lucky you did even okay because if you do badly, I mean, those guys are going to turn on you, the people that he brought. Then he's up there. Yeah. You're the villain. You got to wait around to get paid. I would have left. Yeah. I'd be like, hey, I don't feel well. Got to go.
I would have left your RJ Jackson show like Justin did. So
Maybe yeah, that was. Well, can I also say this is that I really kind of couldn't leave because, you know, Kim Ambrose, who's in the murder mystery, she was supposed to be on the show. She got into a car accident. So girlfriend Katie, had to go get her. I was stuck there anyway. I guess I could have left, but I was been standing out on the sidewalk. By the way, if I would have left, they would have appreciated it. They would have been happy that I did that. Because the show, prolonging the show, there was a bachelorette party that came in. And as soon as they heard the comedy, they left. They walked eight people who would have been there otherwise.
Who would have spent money.
Oh, no, right. It was bad. This show was bad for business, and they paid it out.
Did you get paid?
Yeah, I got paid. But here's the thing. I blame RJ because what you have to do is he says, hey, I'm going to do a comedy show. Say, okay, but if you're going to do a comedy show, you have to be able to do A, B, and C. You have to be able to do that. If you can't, I get it, but we can't do a show here. Only if we can do A, B, and C. Some of those things are, you know, maybe have an area that where all the seats are pointed one way, or maybe I'm elevated, make sure the TVs are off, you know, make sure the lights are dim, whatever you can do to that's conducive to a good show. If you go, no, the TVs are going to be on, you're going to stand right. By the way, when people had to go to the bathroom, they had to walk right in front of me in between the people that I was talking to and where I was performing. And then they would go and they would take a shit and they would come back.
let's take a break. We'll come back. I went on TV. Let's hear all about it. Rob and Josh, I'll be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery. There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, September 16th at the Arlington Cinema and Drafthouse. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So I get an email from Allison. She's the manager of DC Improv, booker, owner extraordinaire. And, of course, we were doing the murder mystery there on Thursday. So she hits me up on Tuesday and says, hey, do you want to go on Great Day Washington Thursday morning? It's a show. It's like a Today Show kind of a show. It's on the CBS affiliate in DC. It's on from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's National Bad Poetry Day, and they wanted to have a comedian on, and I figure you can go on there and then promote the murder mystery that night. I go, of course. So I talked to the girl that's one of the on-air people, and she's sort of producing that segment. And so she emails back and forth and some ideas on what to do. And I'm basically going to write a really bad poem. And then we're just going to then talk about me and the murder mystery and my Kevin Hart show and all that stuff. So I get there and I ask, you know, who's on the show? And the woman is walking in. She goes, Daryl Green's here. Daryl Green. Daryl Green is a Redskin Hall of Famer cornerback. My favorite Redskin of all time.
Mine too.
And I'm like, wow, okay. So I'm in the green room and I'm talking to these two ladies. They're on the show for I don't know what reason yet. And they're life of the party. They're fun. They're laughing. We're having a good time. And then I find out those two are on there to talk about no bullying. This woman's daughter committed suicide. And I'm like, I don't want to follow that. Okay. So they bring us the set. And I see Daryl Green. I'm like, what are you here to promote? Oh, nice to meet you. And he goes, no, I'm actually co-hosting the show today. I was like, okay, awesome. Well, then you probably have to talk to me. You can't blow me off, which is better, right? Because if he's just on there, he doesn't have to talk to me at all. But if he's the host, he has to be friendly to me, even if he wasn't friendly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I had years ago teached his daughter. She was in my driver improvement class. So I mentioned that, which probably doesn't make me look cool at all, but I did it anyways. So now we're talking about his famous punt return versus Cap Bozo, but the Bears rehurdled Cap Bozo.
Where he tore his rib cartilage or whatever when he was hurdling a guy.
He's telling the other coast about it because that guy's not a DC local. He doesn't know the story. So now we're going back and forth. Then he's doing the segment with the women that are on for no bowling. He's telling them a story about how he was supposed to be in this car ride right after he got drafted with a friend of his that he grew up with, and he couldn't go for some reason, and they had a car accident, and the guy died. He was been in that car, right? And then his friend from that news ended up killing himself. So I'm like, oh, well, that's why he's doing this segment. Well, I'm like, wow, all right. I had no idea that was that close to – I'd never heard that before, that you could have been in this car and it never would have happened in your whole life. So I go on in the segment. I tweeted it out on Facebook, but I'll put it up there if you want to see it. It was only 4 minutes long, but I thought it went really well. Except, Joe, you said people have noticed something that I didn't do, apparently.
Yeah, three people came up to me who saw that segment and said, you know, why didn't Rob mention you? But it's not just that you didn't mention me. It's you said, you're talking about the murder mystery, and you said, this murder mystery I write. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity for you to say, me and my podcast partner, Joe Robinson, we write. I mean, it's literally another 3 seconds. It promotes the show, and it also happens to be, you know, what occurs. And true. People are coming up to me saying, hey, you know, you didn't do that. But by the way, I did notice it. It didn't bother me as much as it apparently bothered the other people who said something to me. But I definitely noticed that you did that. Only because when I'm on 98 Rock and we talk about it, I always mention you. Meaning every single time it's mentioned, I mention you.
But I'm also known to the 98 Rock audience.
So okay. I just want to make sure I understand. By the way, I'm not bothered by this. So I don't even want to make the argument. I think I'm going to back out. I don't want to make the argument.
No, go make the argument. My thinking, I didn't purposely not mention you. It wasn't like I thought about this. I just purposely knew it's a 3.5 minute segment, and I got 2 minutes to talk about bad poetry.
It was that it didn't occur to you, which is fine. It's fine that it didn't. But what I am saying is, if you ever talk about who wrote this thing, I would, especially if it was on television, I would be embarrassed to take all the credit for that. I would, especially since you're my partner.
Okay. I guess I should have mentioned your name. But what I really felt guilty about was not mentioning the name of the company. That's what I thought was the real flaw. I should have said dielaughingproductions.com.
Can I tell you what my girlfriend said about it?
Yes, that I looked fat.
She said, Rob looks so much fatter on TV.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I looked good.
No, and I thought you looked pretty good. And then she said, Rob looks so much fatter on TV.
What does she do when she looks at you, Robbie? Jesus.
Television adds to 37 pounds.
I won't go on television. She's cruel.
I represented it like it's more about me, but I'm also trying to look good to the TV people there, the producers there, personal.
And I'm not bothered by it, but you know who was bothered by it? Do you know who the person most upset? Gramps.
Katie.
He didn't like that.
Yeah.
Did Katie say something?
Oh, also? Katie did too. Yeah. Katie did too.
Who are the people? Gramps, Katie?
I don't want to say the other people.
Why not?
Because first of all, the audience doesn't know them, and I don't feel like, well, I'll tell you off the air. How's that? It doesn't matter.
Do I know
names?
Them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I apologize, Joe.
I accept your apology. Good enough.
Okay. So I'm talking to the woman afterwards. It's Marquette. She's the one that's one of the hosts of the show.
Yeah, she was cute.
And she is cute. Yeah. And she gave me a little backstory on this that apparently she didn't name this person, but she said a guy who was calling himself a comedian had been asking her for months to come on the show, and it kept emailing and asking. And finally she goes, okay, this National Bad Poetry Day, you know, it could be a fun segment. We'll have a comedian on, do some bad poetry. She finally says yes to this guy. He goes, awesome. She cuts promos with his name coming up to next week, so-and-so with bad poetry. Tuesday, the week of, this is a Thursday show, he emails back and says, or calls back and says, you know, I don't think this is for me. He gets cold feet. So for like 6 months, he's begged. And now he's dead to her forever.
You know who I blame? Her. I mean, don't they vet these people? Just because somebody emails you doesn't mean that you give in and put them on your television show. It's not even like it's like our podcast where we can just start shitting on them. This is a television show consumed by, you know, and by the way, the time that it comes on, this is like a 60-somethings person show, correct? And you just email enough, you get put on the show?
I mean, it's probably like people that work from home or housewives, maybe. I don't know. It's 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Then she talks to the house. Well, that's how I got involved. But thanks. But good. Screw that guy.
No, yeah, you're right. That was a good thing. But
it's weird, though. I she never said who it was, but I'm guessing, you know, if she did, I wouldn't know who he was. Because probably somebody that just has like a YouTube channel and they think they're a comedian. Then they had to go on TV. And it's not that it's, and it is intimidating if you don't do this. It's live TV. And you have to worry about people thinking you're fat.
Well, yeah, that's true. But the Asians are a thinner culture. But the point is, this guy, this, I feel like he's like, I did it. I fooled him. I made it. I convinced this woman to let. Now, of course, sometimes people don't know their own limitations or their own worth. Maybe he thought he was important, but
maybe
he got what he was trying to do. That's beyond me that he decided I can't do this now.
Well, great day, Washington. Check it out. Go. It's I'll post it.
It was a good segment.
But go check it out. It was a good segment. Yeah, I got a lot of good feedback on it. So, I mean, Gramps didn't say anything to me. Whatever.
No, he won't. He's mad at you.
Glaring omission.
But the thing is, glaring omission. Yeah. Next time I'm gonna mention Robbie.
Yeah, you got to go all the way down to Marcus.
So I went to the murder mystery that night at DC Improv. Excellent show, I thought.
It was good.
No great story from it.
Yeah, not many stories, but it was fun. There was one, I don't want to, I give too much away, but Eric Woodworth, once again, at a certain part of the show, almost did some damage to the room.
Yeah.
Something got caught in the ceiling tiles, and I was afraid he was going to rip it out, weren't you?
Yeah. I wanted it just to stay there, and he pulled it down, and then there's some dust issues. I was worried that we're going to have a conversation about that. But luckily, no one said anything. So, but yeah, that's he stays in character. That's for sure.
Now, speaking of karaoke, you know, I stumbled upon some karaoke this weekend.
I saw that.
And if you go to my Facebook, if you're Facebook friends with me, I actually took a video of it. So there's a bar restaurant about a quarter of a mile from my house. It's called Perry's. It's in Odenton. And I asked my kids, I said, hey, where do you want to eat? They said Perry's. I go, really? That place isn't really that great. They go, what about Hella's? Well, I realized they just wanted a gyro or a hero or however it said. That's all they want. So I'm like, okay, well, then we'll just go to Perry's if that's what you want. Sunday at 6 o'clock is karaoke night. Doesn't that seem like a horrible time to have karaoke?
Yeah.
Nobody goes out on Sundays. And even if you do, do you go out at 6?
No, and football season's starting soon. So then it's totally done.
Well, they don't have it on Sundays. That's what, we'll get there. So people start singing. It's hilarious. Again, please look at the video. It looks like a tumbleweed's going to roll through. It's the most pathetic thing you've ever seen in terms of a karaoke night. Next thing you know, this guy walks up, and what does he sing? He sings The Bad Touch by The Bloodhounds.
I'm so happy.
And I get a video of it. And I got to say, I don't know, man. He gave Robbie a run for his money. I don't want to really say he's better than Robbie because I don't want to argue, you know, 4 weeks in a row. But he was pretty good. Now, but I just wanted to let you know the type of person that sings The Bad Touch.
Okay.
This guy later on came over to our table. I said, hey, man, great job. I'm very familiar with the song The Bad Touch. He goes, yeah. And I go, well, we do a murder mystery, right? I'm trying to sell the murder mystery. He goes, oh, man, that sounds so cool. He goes, I'm A, and what is he? Now, he's an entertainer. What is he?
He's a clown?
Yeah, clown.
No, I think it's worse than clown.
Oh, he's a magician.
It might not be worse than
magician.
He's a magician. That's correct.
He's a
champ. Magician, and he did a card trick for us where we had to we pulled the card out, and it was a pretty good card trick. I'm sure Michael Chamberlain would be able to tell us how it was done, but he did a card trick for us.
Now, Joe, when you were telling him about the murder mystery, did you mention my name?
I gave him a business. I definitely did. And I gave him a business card, which Katie had. That was, I didn't know why she had a business card, but I was glad she did, and she gave it to him. So, and he runs a karaoke room, this guy does. So I was networking.
Nice. I've never seen you pass out a card in my life.
Yeah, I know. I have two full decks of them right now, two full boxes of business cards. I need to grab some of those and maybe give a few out. But luckily I had it. I had the cards, and I'm ready. Well, Katie did. But yeah, the kind of person that sings the Bad Touch is people like magicians and Robbie. So there you go.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to touch a little bit more on this Bad Touch song with you, Robbie. And then I'm talking about my weekend with David Koechner, Columbus Funny Bone. Robin Jones Show. Be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. Why mess with the traffic and hassle of your local shopping center? Face it, the weather sucks, the traffic sucks, and so do 90% of the people out there. So stay home and double-click your way to happiness. Amazon has everything for your home and your office, whether it's paper clips, coffee, clothes, electronics, nutrition pellets for your children, or cleaning supplies. If you need it, Amazon has it, and they're always open at MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Amazon is the best way to save yourself some money while supporting the shows you love so much. Remember, click the Amazon banner at MikeOmaraShow.com and don't be afraid to bookmark it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Does it bother you, Robbie, that there's another guy out there singing your song?
No, no. Now, if he did it when I was going to do karaoke and I had that plan to sing it, then that would bother me. But that's literally never happened to me. I have seen people do that song before, once or twice, but usually they fail because they think they can do it, but they don't. The words are tough if you're not really familiar with them. Now, the guy that Joe had the video of, he clearly knew the song pretty well. And I didn't get to see the whole song, but from what he did, he only really messed up one time. He sounded pretty good.
What if you go to karaoke night? You say, this is my song, and the guy says, hey, that guy over there already chose it. Do you talk to that guy and try to negotiate?
No, I would just do a different song.
Have you ever seen two people do the same song in a night?
I did one time. Somebody else did the Bad Touch, but he did such a bad job. I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway.
So the guy went up there, did the Bad Touch, and you were like, fuck this guy. I'm going to show you how it's done. And then you got up there and did the same song that he had butchered?
Yes. He said he acknowledged that I was that. That was pretty good.
If we could get you on The Voice, would you do it and sing that song?
No, I'm a mediocre singer at best. I'm good at I have a very, very narrow wheelhouse, and doing the Bad Touch at karaoke is that's one of my strengths.
So you're on The Voice. Yeah. You're on The Voice. All four chairs turn around.
Come on.
And you get to choose who mentors you. You got Blake,
Miley Cyrus,
Adam Levine. Are you being serious?
Isn't Miley Cyrus on the show now?
Yeah, you're picking Miley Cyrus. I mean, yes. That's fine. That's who you're picking now.
Yeah, or isn't Usher on part of the show now too?
No, who's the other one?
You can take any. It's been Alicia Keys is the other new one, but you can choose Usher, Christina Aguilera, Blake Shelton's Gwen Stefani's girl, his girl on Gwen Stefani, and who's the
Christina Aguilera?
Shakira.
Oh, Shakira, that's who I want.
Do you think you're gonna get the banger?
No, but I just got to hang around with her. She's pretty hot.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, she's still there. Aren't you trying to make a go of your music career?
What do you think?
What is this conversation about? This is ridiculous.
What's more likely? You get mentored by Shakira and you win the contest, or you bang her?
Did I bang her?
That's a good question.
Did I bang her?
You think it's more likely that you bang Shakira than... Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with what Robbie
clearly said. That's the more obvious.
No.
Robbie can go down there. She can be highly intoxicated or whatever. You know what I mean?
I could,
under the influence of something.
In some realm, I could make that happen, but I could never win the show.
But what if someone like Howard Stern said, hey, there's this guy on the show, on The Voice. He's horrible, but let's make him win. Couldn't they just keep voting you through? Isn't that more likely that Shakira wanted to have sex with you?
No.
Yeah, but Robbie would have to go and audition for The Voice, which he's never going to do.
Well, we're assuming that he auditions, and for whatever reason, Shakira likes to see if there's something with this guy. He's the underdog. I like him. I could train him.
It's still more likely that I'm going to bang her than I'm going to win the show. It's so far-fetched that I'm going to win the show.
No, but that is a good scenario that he says America just starts, you know, they want like screw The Voice. They're trying to sabotage the show.
No, I could totally charm her.
Okay. What's more likely? Robbie, as a joke, wins The Voice, goes on to have a huge record deal selling out arenas, or he marries Shakira.
I think it's marrying Shakira. Although Robbie doesn't want to get married again. So
sorry, Shakira.
That's the hard part about it. Sorry. I just imagining that couple on the cover of People magazine, Us Weekly, Robbie and Shakira. The bad touch, bad boy. So I go to Columbus, Ohio, the Funny Bone with David Koechner. You know him from Anchorman. He is now officially my most famous friend. And, you know, I'd work with him, this is the third time now. And the last time I worked with him in Connecticut in January at the casino, that was shortly after the rant had happened where Joe and you got really mad at Robbie. They had a huge argument. And that we had, you know, we had people do the rant, like Restivo recited the rant, I believe, and Chamberlain. And so I think it was my idea, actually, to get him, Koechner, to do the rant, which is a good idea at the time. And I mentioned him at one point back in January, and he's like, seemed not that excited about it. And then I said, you know, I don't want to deal with this. I got to bring the laptop down. It's a whole pre-production. So this time I'm working with him again. And Robbie, you emailed and said, you know, have him do the rant. And I'm like, now we've gotten this level of friendship where he is a friend. Where I'm like, no, he got me this gig. Like you couldn't pay me $500 now to ask him to do it.
Yeah, but the thing is,
feel uncomfortable.
But here's the thing. Then he's a friend, but he's not a friend. If he's a friend, you just ask. Like, you'd ask me to do anything. You follow? I mean, I'm not saying he's not your friend. He is, but it's not the level of friend. If I'm a 10, you know, he's a 6.
No, but I wouldn't ask you to do anything because I know every time he goes out, people are running up to him, taking pictures. So he doesn't want to be in the green room, and I'm being the fanboy.
No, I get that, but what I'm saying is
putting
that
him into a tough situation.
You run no risk with me, meaning our friendship is not going to end because you ask me to do something I don't want to do. I just be like, I'm not going to do that, and then everything is the same. So it's more, you guys are friends, but it's a little fragile. Or you would just say, hey, do this. But I get that there's an inconvenience for you, but it is different.
Well, no, obviously we're not the same level of friendship. But I would be doing something that I know he doesn't want to do. I'd be asking him to do it. And I'd be taking advantage of his niceness because he'd probably end up doing it. When really he just wants to sit back in the green room and watch the Olympics and bullshit.
Well, the real question is, if you wrote a murder mystery with him, would you mention him?
I totally would. Yeah. He knows all about the murder mystery. He asked me all his questions. See, it's funny. He was like, he's friends with Slash from Guns N' Roses, as opposed to the other Slash. But when he talks about Slash, he gets all excited because their kids went to the same school and that's how they met. When he went on vacation, he taught Slash how to play checkers. He plays checkers like it's chess. He stares at the board. So he's showing me text messages of Slash at talking to him. And I'm like, this is how I talk to people about you and me. I show them text messages of you talking to me. That's what you're doing with me with Slash.
This thing, it keeps devolving. So he's excited that he's friends with Slash. He's bragging to you. You're bragging to me about him. There are some people that would be bragging that they got a text message from you.
Yes.
I don't know who they are. Maybe it's
there are people like that. Yeah, there are comics that will look up to me locally that would probably think that's a big deal. Yeah.
I'd like to be friends with Slash.
Yeah. No, so would I. No, he's an awesome dude. So we have sold out shows. He does this thing where you'll go out to lunch or whatever. And then we kind of just befriend everyone this is in a town center. It's always bars and restaurants, the mall. So we're befriending people left and right. And this place, World of Beer, he says, look, it's a Saturday afternoon. He's like, look, you know, Sunday, it's only 200, you know, tickets sold. It seats 425. You know what? You walk in, you work here, you say WOB, that's the password, you get it. So we wake up, or I guess it was that night we did it, Saturday night. So they'd been drinking. So the next day, he hits me up. He goes, yeah, apparently they're sold out. So we have to go back to World of Beer and resend that offer.
How can you find the same people?
Well, just try to tell the staff, look, don't use that. That code isn't going to do you any good. Now, it ended up people that we'd already put on a list got in. So it all worked out. But there was like a, oh, shit moment there. But that's pretty good to sell out on a Sunday night. had an argument, not with him, but, and I'll fast forward to the end to say everything is cool now. We made up, but there's an, the MC is a veteran. He just MCs there. He doesn't go out on the road, but he's done all that. He's in his 60s. So he's been around. He's a pro. He goes out and does a lot of the MC stuff. Who's having a birthday? And he just gets the crowd going. He does. And we had a conversation about people going over their time at one point. Forget how we got into it. And we were both agreeing that I don't know why people do that. So I'm doing 20 minutes. I get there Friday. There's two shows, 7:45 and 10:15. They say, all right, well, why don't you just do 20 minutes? Because it's, we don't want to be late for the next show. Let's just do 20. I said, okay. Get a light at 18. So no problems. Saturday early show. Now, I have family there, so I'm thinking maybe this played into what he thought had happened. I don't get a light. So I feel like that I'm over my time, but I don't see a light. So I end up doing 26 minutes. I go in the green room. He comes in. I'm like, yeah, I never got the light. He goes, you have a watch, don't you?
Oh, man.
And I'm like, okay. I said, yeah, but I didn't. Maybe he stepped out or something. They wanted me to stretch. Why would that happen? That's not possible. I said, look, I'm not going over the time on purpose. I didn't get a light. Maybe, and we didn't talk about how much time I was doing. There's a longer gap in between the shows tonight than Friday night. There's an extra 15-minute gap, so maybe I'm doing 25. No one said anything to me. He goes, you know better than that. You've been doing this long enough.
Oh, man, fuck that guy.
So we're butting heads. I'm like, all right. So, later, then he ends up talking to David about it. And guess what? He doesn't give a shit. No one gives a shit. So we end up talking and just acting like it didn't happen. We have a good conversation. And then the next night we just talked about it and we both apologized and moved on. So, I end up liking the guy, but it's
why
like,
are
I'm
you
not
apologizing?
I'm not trying to go over my time to be a dick.
Of course you're not. Oh, that makes me furious. I wouldn't have apologized to that guy. Fuck that guy. Seriously. I mean, you obviously had a conversation ahead of time. There's been a million times that I didn't get a light. And I'm like, hey, guys, I didn't get a light. I will say on stage I didn't get a light. But I do everything I can to not walk off that stage until I see the light. Sometimes I think I'm seeing the light and it's somebody trying to see their menu or whatever. But right. Never do I not see a light and decide I'm going to get off stage.
Yeah.
And this guy said, you've been a pro. Well, yeah, you have a watch. Who looks at their watch while they're performing? That's less professional than staying up there because you didn't see a light. Oh, man, that makes me so mad.
Right. And I have to look at my watch. I would have to have known exactly when I got on. Look, I mean,
so
I felt like I was going
on stage
over.
And starts looking at the time because they know the light.
Yeah, I felt I was in the limit of not, I didn't do 35. I did 20. First of all, I said, what I do 25. He goes 26. I'm like, okay, let's not. But you know what? It's all good. We're best friends again, so it's all good. But it was like, damn, I don't want this tension. I don't like tension,
No, could you have kicked his ass?
He's 63 years old, but no, he was huge. He's like 6'7". He would have killed
him. Oh, really? Oh, that sucks. So there's nothing you can do about it. It was like Flex his friends. There's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly. Murder Mystery this Wednesday at Helium in Philly. We're going up there. I'm going to be locally here at the Ram's Head on stage in Annapolis Saturday night doing comedy for Jesse May Peluso. Are you going to come out, Joe?
No, my son is moving to college that day. And then after that, I have the big Scott Apple barbecue.
Oh, that's right. Did James, your other child, go back to school today?
Tomorrow is his first day.
Okay. And he's a junior or senior?
He'll be a junior this year.
Okay.
My oldest will be a freshman in college, and the Orioles are up 4-2 on the Nationals.
Hey, I have a question.
I was waiting for you to say something.
What is David Koechner going to come on the show?
Yeah, your best friend.
I hadn't asked him, but yeah, I'm going to be with him at the Arlington Draft House September 22nd through the 24th, I believe is the dates.
But here's the thing, Robbie. I mean, the only interesting thing to talk about, not interesting, but the only thing we're good at is to talk about Rob. You understand? That's because we're not good. What are we going to interview him? How'd you like doing Anchorman? We're going to suck at that.
Yeah, no. No, we'll
what am I asking about Rob's behavior?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to ask about me, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's all I'm going to do.
Well, but Rob's not going to ask him to come on the show.
He just said he would. He just even gave him the time when he would do it.
I don't know.
He's clearly not going to ask him.
Well, if you can't get him, can you get Slash?
Of course I can get him to do it, but it's just like...
He did digression sessions. Why wouldn't he do your show?
That's true. It's very true. You know what?
Maybe you can get Slash, some of Slash's friends.
And you guys are promoting a show that you're doing together.
I agree. No, you're right. I should ask him.
Keep working your way up. He gets Slash. Next thing, pretty soon we will have Oprah on here.
Is that who you'd want? Your dream guest is Oprah?
Let me think. My dream guest.
It's got to be that's going to be good for the show, and not just.
That's what I'm saying. Like if we had Obama on here, I'd suck at. I wouldn't be good.
Daniel Day-Lewis,
right?
So my
Howard Stern would be the dream guest.
No,
Daniel Day-Lewis would. I agree with Daniel Day-Lewis.
What about Letterman?
That's Robbie's dream guest, right, Robbie?
Yeah, but to have Robbie fanboy it out would be entertaining.
No, I'm going to tell you right now.
And Robbie would just.
Here's my dream guest. This is somebody I've always wanted to have on a show, even before Joe had a fight with him, and that's Tom Arnold.
Well, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen.
Well, that's why he's my dream guest, because he's the most difficult person we could never possibly get. And then after that, it's LeVar Burton.
Hold on, Robbie. Your dream guest is a guy that I was doing stand-up comedy with? Why didn't you say, hey, that's my dream guest?
I did.
Maybe I wouldn't be in this mess now if you would have told me he was your dream guest.
I did tell you that, Joe. I told you before you did the gig. I said I'd love to get him on the show. He's one of my favorite talk show guests. I told you that.
Maybe we were fighting at the time.
Yes, you didn't get along with him, doing so you never talked to him about it.
Robbie made him hate you.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how upset Robbie. Thank God Robbie wasn't in the situation that I'm in with people coming up to me saying you slighted me.
Yeah,
I mean, Robbie. Oh no, that's not that. It's like good thing you didn't do that to Robbie.
Oh God, I'm sure
can
I have.
Imagine.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't it time to reach out to Tom Arnold and make peace and get him on the show?
I think you should reach out to me, right?
I mean, be the bigger man here, Joe.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I'll do it. I'll reach out.
All right. Jack back next week.
I gotta reach out. The only way for me to reach out is through Twitter.
Yeah. Well, do you have another way? I mean, you want to talk to Chip at the factory and get Andrew and get his agent's name?
Joe can't reach
out. I
can't
imagine.
Joe can't reach out to him through Twitter because he's blocked him.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, well. Well,
maybe we can get Rosie O'Donnell.
See, this is where we need Eric the actor back. He would do all the work for us. He would go on Twitter. He'd start a campaign. God, I hate that I miss him. Yep. Anyway, let's get out of here. We'll see you guys next week, and stay tuned September 12th, the best of year 4 debuts. But until then, we'll be back live next week. Rob and Joshua, see you then.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.